The title for my sermonette today is Take Heed How You Build. I'll be telling you a story that, looking back now, I can laugh at it, but at the time it wasn't quite so funny. A few weeks ago, about a week after the conference, I had an opportunity to build a platform for a shed that I had purchased. It is a 12.5 by 8 foot platform. I had a friend come over and he showed me how to build this platform. It wasn't intricate. It was just some brick pillars with metal bits sticking out so that you could screw the lumber into it. We built the outline first, and then we placed the beams, which helped to provide the support and the stability for the base. When we finished, we put plywood sheets on top of our base, providing that final layer on which the shed would be built. Now you would be thinking at this point, well, this sounds great. Kalen's got a platform built and he's on his way. Well, I started to build this vinyl shed that I had purchased. I got the floor laid. I put all the walls up in place except for the two doors. But it was during this process that as I was walking back and forth putting these walls up, I wasn't quite happy with how the flooring was feeling. The plywood was very mushy. And I could only imagine what would happen when I put 4,000 pounds worth of our things inside said shed. I can only imagine it caving in and looking like this. You know, I was thinking back during when we were actually building the platform. This took place on two separate days. It was a hot day. There was thankfully some breeze, but it was hard work. I had never built a platform like this before, and my friend had, but you know, we were both hot, dusty, tired, working out in the sun. And it occurred to me that while we were building this, he had only helped block out the first third back of the shed. And what I mean by blocking out is you put in extra support structures in between the main beams. And this is what helps to keep your floor from going like this. So the other two-thirds were not blocked. And this is what was causing the instability. So as I stood there and contemplated what I was going to do, I tried to figure out what I was going to do to fix it. My wife had already put wire around the bottom half to keep out snakes and such. So I had to pull that off, and I attempted to crawl under the shed. I got my head in, and that's about as far as I got. Now, at this point, I was very annoyed, very frustrated, and I decided that what I was going to do was I was going to pull off the shed off to the side, which I did, and I left one corner of the shed on the back third that was blocked. The whole time, the shed is caving in now because, well, it's on its side and it's vinyl. And I'm very worried that this thing is going to rip in half or some such thing. I took the two pieces of ply off. I blocked everything up, making it much more stable. And then I hauled the shed back onto this platform. And then I was able to finish building this shed over the next 2 days. You know, as while I was fixing this issue, mad at myself for not blocking or saying something when we were working on it the first time, for whatever reason, I kept thinking about Noah and him having to build the ark. My tiny shed, nothing in comparison with Noah's Ark. I had power tools, which Noah did not have. And it made me think how equally frustrating it may have been for Noah at times. How hard it would have been to use hand tools to build this mighty ship. I thought about it a little bit more, and you know, the whole reason for why Noah was building the ark was that God was going to destroy all of humanity and start over with Noah and his small family. You had to think that that must have weighed heavily on Noah to some extent. But it didn't stop him. He didn't waver. We didn't read that he stopped and took breaks or that he had doubts. He trusted in God, and it says he was a preacher of righteousness. He was responsible for building and doing this great work that God had set out for him. He took it personally, and he finished his job. The lives that we each live, they're just temporary in terms of God's timing. And yet, the small amount of time that we are here, there are opportunities to do right, and there's opportunities to do wrong. And we've each done right, and we've each done wrong. And it's this thread that is found throughout the entire Bible. People being human beings and either doing what is right or doing what is wrong. And I think that is part of the reason why we are here. Why God allows us to be human beings is to go through these experiences and to learn. I really appreciated Mr. Gale's sermon, Time, last Sabbath. And the part that really resonated with me the most was when he talked about how Satan and the demons use very simple, everyday things to distract us and to get us off track, to get us to fail on building our relationships with God and Christ, and how detrimental that is for us. Everything depends on how we are building each and every day. We can do good building one day, and then maybe the next day we have to rethink our approach, just like my shed, rip stuff up, and start rebuilding. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Paul was a tent maker. I'm sure this played somewhat into what he is saying here. 1 Corinthians 3 and beginning in verse 9, he says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If everyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." The foundation, then, really, is the most important part. In our lives, that is Christ, immovable and unchangeable. To build a life on Christ takes a continued setting aside of our own desires and learning how to take on Christ. With God, there is nothing that we can hide. Our very beings are known by Him. It should become clear to us as we live this life that it is hard to do it our own ways. It is hard to try and build without including God. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. in verse 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In one sense, we are no longer our own. But yet we are allowed to determine to what extent we will submit to God. To what extent we will allow God's Spirit to lead us. The Spirit of God in us, working, is in direct proportion to how much we turn to Him for support in everything and in every circumstance in our lives. Turning to 2 Corinthians chapter, well, I got the verses 4 to 7, but I missed. Maybe it's chapter 4 and verse 7. Hopefully it's that. But it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And so while we are human, these earthen vessels, going through all the troubles that this life brings, if we turn things over to God and allow Him to show us how to live, how to think, how to accomplish things in this life, it will turn out for good. And that's what God is looking for. He wants good things for us in our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. The opportunity to grow, to continue to build throughout our lives, it's not for our own honor. It's for and to the honor of God. I think about this scripture a lot, about how God has prepared for us every good work. When you think about that, it's such a powerful statement. We are not prepared for evil and bad works, but rather if we tune into God's Spirit of power and direction, we are able to do the good that God intends. Without that, we are trying to live life on our own terms. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then turning to verse 19 of Ephesians 2, it continues, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. But then this is the truth. This is the only way. Without building on Christ, none of this will work. But we can't kid ourselves either. It takes a lot of effort to build properly. Just like building that silly shed. It took a lot of work, about 16 hours worth of work. How much more is it going to take for our spiritual lives? If we make this our priority, our number one, we will make it into the kingdom of God. we will become God beings. And then Christ will build something wonderful for us. And so I'd like to close with John 14 and beginning in verse 1, where he says, Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and where I go, you know the way.